Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome, you're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliette Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in. Hey there, it's Christy Lee here, and welcome to this episode of the Grow Your Influence podcast. We are, of course, here with our summer series of interviews with insightful experts on all things leadership and things related to leading our people and our team. Now, today's interview is a conversation that I had with Charissa Lim from Impact Persona. Charissa is a DISC assessment expert. Now, if you haven't heard of DISC before, DISC is a psychometric assessment or a psychometric tool that we use, you know, in various places in the workforce. I'm a huge fan of psychometric assessments. I have a psych background, so it is one of my passions, and I truly believe they're very valuable assessments to use when it comes to leading and managing people. In today's conversation, Charissa shares with us her expertise in DISC specifically and also psychometrics generally, and why using DISC assessments or some form of psychometric assessment in the recruitment process can be really valuable in forming our hiring decisions. Now, as leaders listening to this podcast, I know that getting the hiring decision right is something that you will understand the importance of. And anything that we can do to help better inform us in the hiring process, I believe we should be leaning right into. So without further ado, let's welcome Charissa to the Grow Your Influence podcast.
Charissa, hi, and welcome to this podcast.
Hello, it's great to be here. So excited.
Yeah, I'm great to have you joining us today. Now, I have given the audience a little bit of an intro about you before you joined us, but I'd love to hear from you personally, because I always find this far more interesting. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey, and what it is that you do.
Yeah, so back 15, 18 years ago, I had the opportunity to take on a DISC course by the company I was employed in. Mm-hmm. And that was because they were looking to run DISC programs and implement DISC profiling across the entire organization. So I was actually very fortunate to be sponsored to do a certification course. And that is where my journey into DISC began, because a lot of people ask me how I got started into DISC, and that was my story. And fast forward, you know, a couple of decades later, mm-hmm. What I'm doing now is I've set up a business called Impact Persona. And what's a bit different about what I do is that I write my own DISC report. So I create my own format and I decide the number of pages in the report at the end of the day. What I really want to do is just help business owners, hiring managers make the recruitment process as cost effective and easy as possible. So that's pretty much what I do, working with businesses to help them make more informed decisions when they're recruiting staff.
Yeah, it's such an important tool that we have available to us when we are hiring these kind of psychometric assessments. And I've certainly seen your reports firsthand, and they are really, direct and easy to digest. And I've certainly seen DISC is one of those. It's such a big, big tool that I've definitely seen other DISC reports that were not so easy to digest. So you do an exceptional job of really narrowing down to the information we need to know to make the most informed decisions and giving us as hiring managers, business owners, recruiters, the intel that we actually need and not what we don't need. So, you definitely do an exceptional job
with those reports.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's also because a lot of the business owners and hiring managers, they're not certified in DISC. So the full-fledged or the full-blown reports that come with the graphs and charts can get a little bit overwhelming. Mm. And I get a lot of hiring managers throughout my career telling me, oh my goodness, this is just too much for me. What am I going to do with these graphs?
Yeah.
And that actually sparked the idea for what I do now, which is just be able to present something That's a lot more easier to read, easier to digest, and you don't need to be certified with DISC to interpret or know who the candidate in front of you is.
Absolutely. And when you went ahead and did this DISC training all those years ago, were you already exposed to the world of psychometric assessments at that time, or was DISC your first sort of taste at psychometrics?
Yeah, so very much DISC was my first contact with psychometric testing. The company I was with was my very first job out of university. So I've not been exposed to any kind of psychometric testing before. And when I went for the course, that was when it was just the penny dropped. It was a great eye-opener. And it just, there was a light bulb moment where I went, oh, this makes so much sense to me now, why certain people behave in certain ways.
Yeah. So let's unpack, I guess, for the audience who might not be as familiar as you and I are with psychometric assessments. And it's something I'm really passionate about using them. I come from a psych background, so I've got a passion, I guess, for understanding human behaviour and using these types of tools. But for our listeners, if you haven't come across psychometrics before, all they are is an assessment tool, and usually they're a very easy, quick survey type of tool, where when applicants give us, or applicants or any person that completes the assessment gives us their direct responses to these questions, and they're very generic questions, it's not work specific necessarily, we build a profile, or the tools build a profile about what this person's natural instincts and tendencies might be. And these psychometric tools, and there's a huge range of them in the market, give us an insight into how that's going to translate in the workplace, particularly if we're using something like DISC, which is, you know, very much workplace specific. But they tell us what this person's likely to be like in terms of their natural tendencies, their strengths and weaknesses, their communication styles. And that helps us make really informed decisions about what roles they might be best suited to, the types of teams they might fit in best with, and all of those kind of things. Is that how you see psychometrics, Teresa?
Oh, absolutely, Christalee. That's spot on. So in terms of having an interview with a candidate, it's very easy to pull up the resume and see what sort of skills or experiences they have. Yeah, but what's really difficult and more complex to try and nut out is the sort of behavioral traits, how, as you mentioned, how they respond to certain situations or challenges, their preferred pace of working, whether how they influence others, or how they follow policies and procedures. So how I usually describe psychometric tools, especially DISC, is it is a predictive tool. It allows you to predict the person's behaviors.
Yeah, I love that, actually, predictive tool. That's probably the perfect way to describe them. And I've used psychometrics, you know, throughout my career, because I do really see the value in them. Like when you had that aha moment, I think once you've seen how accurate these kind of reports are and can be if you're using good ones, they just help you make, it just really forms out the rest of the profile about, and it's not the decision maker necessarily, although it might be, it's more, what am I going to do with this person once they're here? How can I, you know, set them up for success in the workplace by knowing as much as I can about them? Because it would take you, I would estimate, 6 to 12 months to know an applicant as well organically as you would on day one by using one of these tools. I think that might be a rough time frame that I've certainly seen play out. So for you, when, you know, if we're talking about using these assessments in the recruitment process, which is sort of the focus of today's discussion, although they can be used really well at other times, when throughout the recruitment process do you recommend that we use these tools?
Yeah, so there is no hard and fast rule. I do recommend that you can either implement it prior to the first interview, and that gives you that first-hand insight to the candidate before you even meet the candidate. You have a bit of a rough idea of what this person is like. Or as an alternate, you can, a lot of organizations also implement it at the second round of interviews. So that's the decision-making rounds, where they will go, I've spoken to the candidate in the first round, their skills and experiences match what we're looking for. So let's go a bit deeper during the second round interview. So it could be either at the first or the second round?
Great. And I wonder as well, just before we jumped on recording today, you and I were chatting about the market at the moment for applicants. And at the time of recording, it is 2022, and it is tough out there for businesses to find great people. And I wonder whether the market might determine for us when we would be best suited to doing a psychometric like DISC, in that right now we're not spoiled for choice. We might get to interview one to two people for most roles. So I would probably tend to put it at the back end of the recruitment process at that decision-making interview. Whereas if we are spoiled for choice and we have 100 excellent applicants, that might be a better time to put it at the front end to help with our screening and help with our shortlisting, so we're not wasting time interviewing people who really aren't going to be suitable for the role. Do you think you could use that strategy?
Yes and no. So mm-hmm. I know a lot of organizations will tend to say, right, you know, it's so hard looking for the right person, so I'm not going to jeopardize the candidate's chances of being hired. But what I can tell you is that if you do not do your due diligence in really understanding how the candidate behaves mm-hmm. or interacts or fits into the corporate culture, mm-hmm. what's going to happen, and I've seen it before, is that you will not get that longevity with that candidate. Mm-hmm. So if you are hiring someone and you feel that there are only two candidates applying for the role, you just have to have that person for the job. But if you feel that, or if you don't do a behavioral profiling assessment, mm-hmm. you may find that the candidate is going to struggle with some of the policies or culture mm-hmm. within the environment, and they are going to leave the organization within 3 months. And then, you know, the hiring manager will find themselves at a position where, oh, I've got to find someone again. There's time lost, there's effort lost. So it is actually costly. Mm. It is a costly hiring process that can be very much prevented or circumvented or mm-hmm. supported with a psychometric testing tool.
Absolutely. Look, the cost of churn is something that really shouldn't be underestimated. You know, the figures range from a third of the salary to, you know, more than double the salary, depending, of course, on the role and it's, you know, position the business. But you're always talking, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars when you need to refill a position in your business. So I certainly am keen to make sure that those decisions are right, or as close as possible to being right in the first instance. And psychometrics is one of those tools that we have to support us in making that decision, definitely. Yeah. And I know personally, I've even been sometimes surprised by results of psychometrics when, you know, obviously I do this professionally, so I'm very used to interviewing people and I consider myself to read people quite well. But sometimes the psychometric will come back and I will have missed some things in the interview that I just didn't see, and they, you know, it's really helped to inform the decision moving forward. So they, you know, even if you think, no, I read people well, or I've got this, I guarantee you they add so much more to what you can gather.
That's correct.
So you're a DISC specialist. Now I will say up front, there are loads, I mean, thousands probably, of psychometrics available out there. So definitely, you know, if you're a business owner, if you're making decisions for the business on hiring, definitely look at all the options and look at what suits your needs best. And I think I really like to see the same assessment used consistently. So we're seeing direct comparisons and forming really organization-wide data. But let's focus on DISC for a moment, because it is very popular. I've got members of our people-powered HR community who love DISC and will, in fact, when they're hiring, say, oh, I need a high D. Like, they talk DISC language, which I really love.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so they're really clear, which is wonderful. So let's talk about DISC for a moment. Tell us a little bit more about DISC as an assessment tool.
Yes. So DISC itself is a four-factor behavioral model that was founded by an American psychologist called William Marston in the early 1920s. So this means that DISC has a history of, so we're in 2022 today, it's got a history of over almost 100 years. So we're looking at a century of principles here. So basically DISC is about finding the motivations behind people and that recognizing that a person can possess many traits. So at the end of the day, it is an assessment tool that measures, as mentioned before, our behaviors, how we can react and respond. And the four quadrants that a lot of people are familiar with are the D's, I's, S's and C's. So to give you a really quick crash course, if you are someone who is very driven, very determined, dynamic and decisive, or even direct in your language, that would indicate that you've got a high D factor in your DISC blend profile. If you're someone who loves talking a lot, loves socializing, interacting with people, and you feel that you just have a high level of energy, that is where you've got an I style in your element. Now, for people who are very supportive, they feel that or they see themselves as very supportive, very steady, very stable, they would be a strong S style, where they're wanting to always have peace and harmony in the team, pleasing others. So they're the people pleasers. And finally, people who see themselves as very cautious, very analytical, wanting to be correct in what they do all the time, that would be the C style. So even though there are four factors that I've just described, it is a common misconception that we all are just one DISC style. We actually are a blend. So I just want to really put this point out there. We are a blend of styles. So you could be a D and an I, or maybe an I and an S, or even a DC.
Yeah, absolutely. And this blend is what's really important in understanding applicants in the recruitment process, because immediately you might, just hearing those descriptions, think of certain roles within your business that you know you would certainly need a C style of person in, because they're detailed and meticulous and you need that kind of attention to detail. And conversely, I think, you know, immediately towards an outbound sales type position, you want an I in there, and someone probably with some D as well in terms of being able to, you know, cold call or do those kind of things. So immediately there is a sense that certain roles would require certain, not require, but be better filled with applicants with certain blends. But you've always got a mix in there, don't you? And are most people usually sort of highest in one and then the blend sits below that? Is that what you usually find?
Yeah, that's correct. So they would be more dominant in certain traits, and certain traits are just not as dominant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I've certainly seen as well. And I love the visuals that you get with a DISC report as well. The explanations, you know, I guess everyone's a little different, but the explanations for some people are straight away the penny drops and that makes total sense. And for others, the graphs and the visual imagery that come with a DISC report are really beneficial. The other space that I love to see these types of assessments used is actually in team building activities, because when people do these assessments and get the report, the overwhelming response I always see is, wow, that's accurate. And it helps team members to understand each other a little better and to understand why, you know, if you're a high sort of D and you're dealing with someone that's a high C, they may not interact with you the way you might expect or want, because their approach is different in communication. And so it builds a sense of a deeper understanding of our teammates. Have you seen it used in that capacity?
Oh, absolutely. So for example, in one of the companies I've worked for, we had two types of managers who have very differing personalities. We had one director who had a very strong D style and one director who had a very strong I energy. So with the D style director, he was just really assertive and driven, and he does intimidate the staff. And typical of D styles, he would also email his employees in the middle of the night expecting them to respond. Whereas with the I style director, he just loved going out for lunches with his team members. He would say, let's all hang out for lunch. And he would talk and share stories. And the the members really loved working or talking or sharing or pouring their hearts out to the iStyle director, whereas they were just a little bit more reserved and, you know, did not want to really engage with the DStyle director. So at that point, because they were not aware of DISC as a tool and why people certain people behave or react in such a way, had they known it, they would basically understand or appreciate that. That's just how the DStyle director is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even when responding or communicating with the director, they would just be aware to use certain language or respond to him in a certain way to ensure that there is no miscommunication or a conflict between team members. So, yes, it does provide a really powerful tool in reducing conflict. And basically, at the end of the day, adapting your communication style to suit the other person. So you're not changing yourself. And that, again, is a misconception. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say that I'm not going to change who I am. That's how I speak. But we want to see it as adapting to the other person so that we can get the best out of the project or the communication.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And so this is a really great, you know, additional way you could use DISC. Yes, use it in the recruitment process, but also then bring it into those team discussions or to team strategy days, because it's really, really insightful. And I'm thinking of a business that I used to handle all the HR for, and they had also two directors. And it was definitely the situation where one director was more S and I would say, very nurturing, very much a people pleaser also. And the other director was very D. And, you know, the staff really, really gravitated towards the I/S director. And I think they eventually realized that and actually structured their two directorship roles to suit their strengths, which if you can do that, you can have that self-awareness. It's beautiful in terms of a leadership perspective as well. So, you know, it's just really layered. We've got so many opportunities to use the information we get doing these assessments in the recruitment process. So I'm curious to know from your perspective, you know, I certainly see members of People Powered HR and my consulting clients wanting to do these assessments, but struggling sometimes to decide which assessment is for them. And, you know, to that extent, sometimes doing multiple assessments, which may have some value, I'm not sure, but may not be necessary. How, you know, why would DISC be a good assessment for them to choose, you know, over some of the other options that are out there?
Yeah, I love this question. So one of the most common other types of psychometric tools that this gets compared against is the Myers-Briggs,
yeah,
or MBTI for short. So they're very similar in terms of the sort of information you get out of the reports. So what I want to point out is that the difference, and this is a question I get a lot, what is the difference between Myers-Briggs and DISC? Now, MBTI covers a bit more about your intrinsic behaviors, how you think or how you are as a person. So it's very much a personality report, whereas DISC focuses more on your behavioral styles, how you react to situations or how you respond to challenges. So what's typical in a Myers-Briggs analysis is you might see things like, oh, this person is very philosophical and likes to think about what they want out of life, or perhaps they love to be creative with their hands. So this is very much how the person thinks or is as an individual. But at the end of the day, to choose between the best sort of tool and to know why should I choose DISC, if you are after an assessment tool that is quick to administer, mm-hmm, and you just want to be able to get the insights quickly, DISC is the one for you, because DISC is actually an assessment that has about between 24 to 30 questions, depending on which provider you go with. Mine has 28 questions, and participants or candidates are asked to give themselves up to 12 minutes to complete it. So it can be actually completed within 10 to 12 minutes. Now, the Myers-Briggs, one of the most common assessments, and along with other assessment tools that I'm aware of, such as Hogan assessments or the McQuaig assessment, they are quite extensive. So Myers-Briggs has about at least 90 questions, or over 90, 90. And that takes candidates easily at least 45 minutes to complete. So it's really the time factor and also the simplicity. If you just want to grab a report and just know, what is this person like? Will they fit into the corporate culture? And you don't want to scare the candidate off with a 45-minute assessment, I would certainly recommend going along with DISC.
That's definitely true. It is a very quick assessment to complete. And what I always instruct candidates when they're completing these assessments is just your gut feel is the right answer.
Correct.
Don't overthink it any more than
that's
that.
That's it.
Response.
That's exactly right.
Because I think the tendency, and I've certainly done assessments early in my career, which I found fascinating as someone who was a psych major, then sitting these assessments, that if I wanted to, I could have skewed the results easily in terms of putting myself in the position of understanding what the employer wanted out of the assessment. DISC, it's not possible literally, because they're purely very simple questions that are gut feel responses, and the candidate will have no idea what you're looking to check with these questions.
That is correct.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting as well. And it is a good point. The other assessments, and there's lots of them. Firstly, I think that point about it being more intrinsic, more about feelings and I guess underlying personality, very much so, which doesn't necessarily directly correlate to their behaviours at work. And that's what we really want to get out of doing an assessment in the recruitment process, is understanding not only their personality, yes, but what are they actually going to be like in the workplace? How are they going to communicate? What type of work are they going to lean towards versus pull away from? And I think that's where assessments like this are so much more powerful for the workplace setting. You know, the other ones are really interesting to do and to learn about yourself, but from a workplace perspective, I agree. I think that information about behaviour, like you mentioned earlier, it's a predictor of behaviour. So
that is correct.
I really like that. So when you know, if I was an employer and I was going to start doing DISC in my recruitment process, for example, what should I be looking for from the reports I'm getting? What should I be reading into things, and what information should I be looking to try and gather?
Yeah, so different reports will provide information in different formats, but I'm just going to use my reports as a basis. Mm-hmm. So most DISC reports will come with the candidate's strengths and limitations, so what they're not too good at, what sort of areas they get stressed at, so what stresses them out, what motivates them. So that's an important thing as well. So what sort of factors, what sort of job tasks or responsibilities will motivate them, and also the ideal work environment. So besides reading the report, which is what everyone will do, you want to really take a step back and think about, how does this person fit into the role or the organization? So for example, if you've got someone who is very structured, very organized, and the report says that, oh, they love to work with policies and procedures, and they like things to be set out, you know, with routines and schedules, but you know that your corporate culture is very fast paced, it's very dynamic, you know, things change all the time. You want to really sit down and have a chat with the person to see, how do you feel about being in this environment? Do you feel that you can adapt to it? So the report will allow the interviewer to ask more informed questions of the candidate. So it's really one important note to all people, every recruiter or business owner who are using psychometric tools, never ever use it to discount a candidate. So you never want to take a report, go, okay, you are this style and therefore you're not suitable, you are rejected. So we never want to use the outcomes of a DISC report for this sort of person. Rather, it should guide your interview questions. So you know, it says that you like, you're very detail oriented. You like to work with structure and routine, schedules, plans, and things like that. Now we have a corporate culture that's a little bit haphazard. It's a bit chaotic. You know, how do you feel about that? So it's really, at the end of the day, making sure that the person's aligned to or prepared to work with this sort of environment, and just getting those responses of the candidate and managing expectations from both ends.
Yeah, absolutely. You touched on some really important things there. This is where doing an assessment pre the second interview would be really important, because it will allow you to not only discuss much more candidly with the candidate the differences in terms of what they lean towards and what your corporate culture is, but also if there is things that you want to dig a little deeper on, you can really craft some very specific behavioral-based questions to ask them about situations where they've handled a, you know, chaotic environment in the past and how they manage that, so that you're putting them in a situation to give you specific real-life examples about being in an environment like yours and how they dealt with that, so you're getting that intel. And on top of that, this is also a great opportunity to form up reference check questions. By knowing this information, we're able to ask better quality questions to the referees to really get an insight into how that's worked for them in their previous workplaces. So, yeah, I think that's really, really important in terms of what we're pulling out of the intel. And I wanted to check with you as well, as we get close to the end of the podcast episode. You mentioned earlier you're an accredited DISC provider, and I think it's really important that we point out to the audience that for some assessments, and DISC is one of them, you definitely want to be talking to someone who is accredited to deliver DISC, because it's a very mature is one word, sophisticated tool and assessment. And it's, you know, you might find free versions of these assessments online and think that they're the same thing. They're really not, are they?
No, you're absolutely right. So I have a lot of people asking what's the difference between getting a paid report and doing a free one. So essentially, the free one isn't too bad, but the two issues that you'll get with free reports is, number one, you don't get the full blend. So a lot of the free tools I see out there, and I've done them myself, and I go, oh, they're free, why not try them? Is number one, yes, you do not get the blend for DISC. It'll just say you're a dominant D or an I, S or C, but you don't get the full picture. And number two, it gives you very limited information. So you're just looking at maybe, you know, a couple of paragraphs as to what the person's behavioral traits are. Whereas with the full report, you actually get the heaps more information and insights into this individual.
Absolutely. And with the full reports, you're getting really specific things, like Teresa mentioned earlier, about it's not only strengths and weaknesses, but really specific, you know, examples almost of these are the situations that might be challenging or might be confrontational, or whatever the case is. So the detail is actually far more specific and, you know, tailored. And I think that is hugely beneficial, rather than just finding out that this person is a dominant D, because that's really not enough to help you make decisions.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Wonderful. Look, I really appreciate you sharing all of your DISC knowledge with us. And there is, look, I'm a huge fan. If you're considering using a psychometric in your recruitment process or with your team building, my advice is absolutely to do it. Find an assessment that you love and go for it. I just think they add so much information and value to not the hiring process and also to the team development process. So I'm a huge fan, and I think every business should be using them. And DISC is an excellent option. So Teresa, thank you for joining me. Now, if people would love to contact you, we'll put all your details in the show notes, but what's the best way for them to reach you? Are you LinkedIn or on your website? Where do you prefer people to contact you?
Yeah, so thank you so much, first of all, Christy, for giving me the opportunity to be on your podcast. I'm very active on LinkedIn, so feel free to stalk me on LinkedIn. I also have a strong presence on Facebook, so that is also where you can look for me if you prefer to use Facebook. Otherwise, feel free to jump onto my website, that's impactpersona.com.au, drop me an email, and I usually respond really quickly. So yeah, best way is stalk me on LinkedIn.
Excellent. Well, look, we'll put all of Teresa's links to her LinkedIn, Facebook, and her website in today's show notes, which you'll be able to grab wherever you're listening to this episode.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.